First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome, everyone, back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And before we get started, we want you to know Alan Nathan's motto, the militant moderate. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We have with us right now Bill Walton, not the, what is it, sportscaster, but host of the Bill Walton Show. He chairs the Resolute Protector Foundation, a 501c3 media production company. He led the agency action and landing teams for all the federal economic agencies for President Trump's transition team in 2016 and 2017. Thank you so much, Bill Walton, for joining us. I'm sorry I always do that. I'm trying to compare you to Bill Walton. I got to stop that. We know you. We know.
Well, I have a better jump shot, though. I grew up in Indiana, and you can't leave the state without a good jump shot. So there's that.
Well, here's a good jump shot for you. Oh my! The last week in Saudi Arabia and in the Middle East, I am saying on Twitter that we're in danger of the extraordinary becoming ordinary in the age of Trump. What say you?
Well, I agree. That was Trump at his finest, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, it was a tour de force, and, you know, he did a stopover in three Arab countries, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia, and made, as he would say, he made big, beautiful deals with all of them. And, you know, I think he did. I think a lot of these big investments. They're making investments in the United States, and we're making some investments there. And I think Trump's point here was that, you know, guys, we can't just go and tell people to be liberal democracies. We've got to go over and do deals with people and get connected with them economically, and we're more likely to become friends if we do that.
Right. And there's some great slogans that he doesn't need because people are understanding by watching him do it. Trading war for peace, you know, the economics of peace. Those things, I think people are understanding that the two things go together in Trump's mind. And I think that he wants to restart the Abraham Accords, which is phenomenal because it recognizes Israel so they can be trading partners and gives more moderate Arab countries a way to have a little cover because they're targets of terrorists when they say, you know what, let's, instead of trying to destroy Israel, maybe we should trade with them. I want to ask you this too, and I'm giving you too much here, but this was amazing that the Syrian new leader has said that he's tired. This is astounding to me. He doesn't want to get so close to Iran, China, and Russia. And only in the age of Trump would that be possible. Your thoughts about that and how it fits into this 4D chess that I think Trump is playing.
The thing that triggered it is that the head of the Qatar convinced Trump, I don't know this, how hard he had to do it, to lift the sanctions that we've had on Syria since, what, 1979, 1989, anyway, decades. Yeah. And you know, he met with people and he said, look, if we're going to give you a chance here to play in the same sandbox in a nice way with all the other countries in this region, and you got a chance to redeem yourself. I mean, who does that? I mean, and you know, Trump is always saying, look, I don't have permanent enemies. I have people that were enemies for a while, and then circumstances change, and I made friends with them. And I think he's applying that right here. I mean, remember what he did to Marco Rubio, and then
Didn't Marco
have like, he's given Marco like 6 jobs now.
Little Marco. But you know, I don't think the thing is that, you know, I'm an MOT, I'm a member of the tribe, and I have Jewish friends who are constantly warning me that Trump is going to betray Israel. And I try to explain to them that the security and peace of Israel, which is also in the interest of the security and peace of the United States, is nothing that he has ever, that Donald Trump has ever not had in his mind. And this Abraham Accords really, and I don't think all Jewish people feel that way, that, you know, 2 Jews, 3 opinions, but honestly, it's only Donald Trump could do what is happening right now. I guess the point I was going to make is that just because he makes friends with someone doesn't mean he forgets where they used to be, right? Mm. He remembers who suddenly came to his door the minute he got elected president. There was Zuckerberg and others who contribute to the 2020 election not being fair, and there he is having lunch with him. So, you know, that too.
Well, you know, this may be out of bounds, but I think dealing with heads of state in the Middle East, he sort of looks at him like dealing with the real estate developers in Manhattan, which are some of the toughest guys on the planet.
Toughest ever. These guys.
I think he's very transactional, and I think that's what we're seeing here. And I do think this, on balance, could be good for Israel. I mean, I'm all in on Israel, and I think that we all need to be, because it's the only liberal democracy in the region. But what
can you have a talk with
others...
Tucker Carlson? But that's another story. talk with Tucker Carlson and explain to him that this affects. Anyway, let's not go there. You're exactly right. I believe that that's true. And it is in our interest and America's interest to be able to do business with these Arab countries so that they can't stand Iran either. They see Iran as a bigger threat to them than to us, right?
Exactly. I think it pulls their interests together. Now, there's another facet to this, is the technology piece. And I think Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince, pointed out that more than half of their GDP now is not oil. It's technology and a lot of other industries, services and things like that. And Israel is an incredibly important source of technology innovation and venture capital and startups and all those things that are on balance really good. And I think these deals and their technology components in each one of the deals for each of the 3 countries, I think, brings everybody together a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Maybe they'll get a data center arrangement. It stabilizes the region in a way that can only be good for Israel.
And when you look at that 4D chess that I talked about, I think that there have been instances where Israel has tried to do that on its own, tried to make peace with its neighbors by trading with them, by trying to develop parts of countries. And they couldn't possibly do it because even Jordan, there's been a secret peace between Jordan and Israel for a long time. But King Hussein couldn't ever admit that, or he would be assassinated. by none other than Yasser Arafat and others, whereas Donald Trump represents a broker of this peace that, you know, Israel's just quiet about it, and then he gets this done for everybody's benefit. It's brilliant, and you know what? Only a non-politician and someone of the stature of Donald Trump could ever have done it while the previous administration was acting pro-Iran. If you'd like to comment on that, you can.
I'm in violent agreement. That's my comment. he's sui generis. He's the only guy. He's unique. I can't think of another so-called statesman that could bring this off in the way he did. And he did it with they had a lot of fun doing it as well, if you watched it on TV.
Yeah, he has fun. All right. Speaking of fun, tell us about your show, The Bill Walton Show, in our last minute. Less than a minute.
Well, it's a long form interview show. I've got about 250 interviews in the can, and I've had people like Art Laffer on, Economist, and George Gilder, who did the Israel test, and it goes on and on. There's a good list, and so you can go to the website, and there's a lot you can learn there about economics and culture and things I think we ought to know about.
You're a serious thinker. Bill Walton, never confuse him with the basketball player. He's Bill Walton, all on his own. Can't wait to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll move on with the Alan Nathan Show right after this. Don't go away.
The New York International Auto Show is back, highlighting the latest in the automotive world. Brian Moody, executive editor at Auto Trader, has more.
The New York International Auto Show is the perfect opportunity to keep track of what's happening in the automotive world. Founded in 1900, it's been the longest-running, most attended show in North America for over 20 years. With two spacious floors and manufacturers from all over the globe, it features the latest and greatest in automotive technology.
This year's show presents an expanded EV test track showcasing the latest technology in electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids.
One of my favorite EVs gets notable upgrades in terms of performance, design, and technology. The 2025 Kia EV6 gets new LED headlights, daytime running lights, and a bigger battery. Plus, it also includes the North American charging standard, which is new for that car, and that makes it more convenient to own.
For more information on Kia's EVs, visit kia.com.
Celebrate Trails Day is Rails to Trails Conservancy's annual springtime celebration of America's trails. Hundreds of events and thousands of people will come together all across the country to show off the ways that trails make America great. It is so good for us, and it is good for our communities when we get outside on the trail. We come together, we meet our neighbors, we make new friends, and we build quality of life. Trails are also part of a strong economy. Over $34 billion each year is generated by tourism, small businesses, jobs, health cost savings that trails generate. And it's fun and it's safe when we're out on the trail. We're separated from traffic. We're able to kind of be free and relaxed with our friends and our family. It is so much more than a day outside. It is a day of action, showing off how important these spaces are to our lives and to our communities. We hope you'll join us. Go to railstotrails.org/celebratetrails to find events near you, to find trails near you, and learn all the ways you can engage.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And our very next guest is a spokesman. We don't mind saying man when he's a man. Spokesman for the Gun Owners of America. He is the archetypical good guy with a gun. In 2017, he stopped the deadliest mass shooting in Texas history. Stephen Williford joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Stephen. Good to have you along.
Great to be on the Alan Nathan Show once again.
Yes, how about that? I hope you can stand near a window so we can hear you real well. It looks like you're outside,
I'm about to walk in just a moment.
Okay. Well, we will play for time here as you do that, because we want to talk about the Pennsylvania state representative who claimed to be a pro-gun advocate, but turned out to be against constitutional carry. Tell us about that, Stephen Williford, and bring us up to date.
That is when, especially when pro-gun people turn around and turn out to be the problem and not the solution.
How about that? Who are you at liberty to say who that is? Yes. Can you hear
us?
I am here. You can hear me.
I'm sorry. I'm not hearing you.
Okay. Let's let our producer straighten that out for you so that we can hear you. Stephen Williford, by the way, and he cannot hear us right at the moment. He came in and somehow I think we're going to get him back when we can hear him. The story I happen to know until while we're waiting is that Stephen Williford helped to stop a mass shooting in a very small little town in southern Texas, and it happened in a church. He was barefoot. He's told the story before, and he ran out to get his shotgun to save lives of people. Eventually, the perpetrator committed suicide because there were people after him. Stephen, I was telling your story as quickly as I could, and we've got you back. So let's just pivot, shall we, to the PA state representative. Are you at liberty to say who that is?
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know necessarily. I haven't looked into it, but I do know that so far we've had a couple of people pro-gun, supposed to be pro-gun people, and that serve even in the national stage. But yeah, when they claim to be pro-gun, and I hate it when they say we're Second Amendment, but, you know, that but means no, you're not for the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed means exactly shall not be infringed.
So you're not going to name names. Some people are saying that there are people in the Trump administration who are a little too cozy with the, and this is my characterization of it, the red flag laws, horrific things that take away people's Second Amendment rights before they get, talk about the lack of due process. There's no due process when somebody has it in for somebody else and makes an anonymous phone call and somebody comes along and takes away their property and their Second Amendment rights. What do you think about that? And are you, have you been watching that on a federal level? Is there anything to worry about?
Absolutely. There is something, you know, so even here in Texas, our own John Cornyn has promoted the Safer Communities Act, is what it was called, which gives funding for red flag laws, which is unacceptable.
Wow.
There is no due process there. And I just have a message for John Cornyn. And Ken Paxton is running for his seat in Senate. And it's time to primary John Cornyn. He has outdone his successfulness in our United States Senate.
I think
he needs to be primaried.
Yeah, and you know, for our listeners outside of Texas, I mean, this is a nationally syndicated show. You can actually donate to people, and they know that, outside of the area, if you know that it's a pivotal race. Some people say the Paxton Cornyn race, which I've been watching, is going to be one of the most contested and the biggest, one of the biggest races at the midterms, the Senate race. There's also been talk that John Cornyn has had a lot to do with the Muslim city north of, what was it, Dallas? I don't know Texas very well, but that northern city in which they were being allowed to build a whole city where you have Muslim in order to live there. I think that violates certain First Amendment rights. Have you heard about that?
I did hear about that, and the last I heard is it did get blocked, and it will not be able to happen. Thank God for Texas and not letting that happen, but we need to indeed watch everything that's going wrong. Again, right now what we're fighting presently, and we're fighting for the Hearing Protection Act, which would take suppressors off of the National Firearms Act, the NFA, and the Short Act, which would take short-barreled rifles off of that. And who's the problem now? It's a Tennessee congressman that we're having issues with. A Tennessee Republican congressman.
Wow.
That is, yes. So right now we are fighting to get that put onto the budget so that we can remove the suppressors and short barrel rifles off of the NFA so that you won't have to have a stamp again and pay tax and go into a registry for all of that.
So if
please
you were
to
go ahead.
Please go to gunowners.org and sign up and help us in the fight.
Okay, we've got about a minute. What do you want to leave us with? I was going to ask you another question, but let's just let you go where you need to go. What do you want to leave us with? Because when Republicans are fighting against Second Amendment rights, we got to know how to oppose that, don't we?
Well, the best way to oppose it is to primary them and get pro-gun Republicans to fight and to fight for us. And it's time for we the people to take our rights back. And if you want to find pro-2A Republicans, go to gunowners.org and sign up for the fight.
Yeah, you know, we didn't have time to get into the nuance. There's a lot of nuance in the sense that people say, you know, Second Amendment is not all black and white. But the truth of the matter is they've been chipping away at this right for decades on end. And when they say to you, oh, well, it's not really going to hurt your Second Amendment rights, you really have to think again, don't you?
Absolutely. Shall not be infringed is just as about as black and white as it comes. You know, there's no other part of the Bill of Rights that is so plain as shall not be infringed on the Second Amendment.
Right. Many people, my friend John Zemirak wrote a book called No First Amendment, No Second Amendment, that the First Amendment protects it. So use your First Amendment rights to speak up for your Second Amendment rights. There's more to it than that. But Stephen Williford.
The Second Amendment protects all the rest of them, too.
They most certainly do. Actually, I think it was no Second Amendment, no First. I think I got it backwards and you corrected me. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back.
In 2007, author Jacqueline Davies introduced the best-selling children's novel, The Lemonade War, a clever blend of humor, math wizardry, and business know-how that follows two siblings competing to have the best lemonade stand ever. Now, The Lemonade War is brought to life as a full-color graphic novel with vivid illustrations by Karen de la Vega. The Lemonade War is a poignant and funny story about the powerful bond between a brother and sister, even when they're at odds with each other. Author Jacqueline Davies.
I think the graphic novel format breathes new life into this story. Whether kids already know Evan and Jesse or if they're new to the Lemonade War, I think they'll really enjoy the vibrant, dramatic, colorful, nuanced illustrations that show the brother and sister struggling with their epic battle. Of course, the heart of the story is still about family and about the lessons that Evan and Jesse learn about themselves and about each other.
The Lemonade War graphic novel is now available wherever books are sold. The fan favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less than legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Elise Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything, snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, who is on assignment. We have with us founder of SaveTheWest.com. Always a pleasure to talk to him. SaveTheWest.com is a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. He's the author of The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. Kenneth Abramowitz joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Thanks for joining us, Alan. I mean, Kenneth. Ken, I know you. I'm sorry. My brain.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Great. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, I'm just dying to dive in here because it's fascinating that the new Syrian president, I believe that Donald Trump made this possible, made the announcement to lawmakers that he wants to move away. He's brand new. We've had these sanctions in Syria for the longest time, and he wants to move away from Iran, China, and Russia. Clearly, he wants to get on the bandwagon of making money with the Trump administration. And talk about that for a minute before we move on to what's going on in Gaza.
Yeah, sure. Well, obviously, the president made a calculated bet that this is a chance to bring Syria I hate to say this, into Western civilization, not exactly into Western civilization, not exactly a democracy, but let's say a country that protects minority rights, which is one of the hallmarks of Western civilization. And he's taking a bet. It's a risky bet, but it always can be reversed. So
it can.
There's a whole bunch of conditions. Yeah. Yes, and if they don't meet the conditions, I'm sure it'll be reversed.
Ken, the reason I was struck by that is because you mention all of these same countries in the name of your book, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, and obviously Iran, who used Syria as a proxy, did it not, for the longest time? And now Iran is getting isolated from the kind of business diplomacy that is the trademark of Donald Trump.
Yes, you're correct. I think that's the message that he wanted to send to everybody in the region, except, of course, Iran.
He
wanted to set that tone, and that was the objective, and he accomplished that.
Yeah. Were you as encouraged and heartened as I was as I watched his trip last week? I didn't have any problem with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia honoring him like a king, and Donald Trump saying wonderful things about the Prince of Saudi Arabia. I have some of my Jewish friends who were worried. I wasn't. What are you?
No, I think what he did with the Saudis was fine, because 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, Saudi Arabia did not want to be in Western civilization. But under the new crown prince, he made the decision and moved Syria into, let's say, the beginnings of Western civilization. So I was very happy with that relationship. It's Qatar that was more of the controversy.
Right, right. Well, sounds like you're driving. When I opened my news this morning, I saw, unfortunately, a lot of horrible hatred. Israel is a genocide. It's always the case, because Israel has started a ground offensive in Gaza. And the protests in Europe and elsewhere seem so managed. I wanted to ask you about the connection to those in the Arab Spring a few years ago, in which there was a huge emigration to Europe countries. Or is it AI? What do you think is going on there? And then you could also speak about, sorry, I'm throwing too much at you, Gaza itself and this offensive.
Yes. Well, a key element of my book, The Multifront War, and my website, SaveTheWest.com, is that the foreign and domestic enemies are the same. They're interrelated with each other. In other words, it's a worldwide war, and some of the war we're fighting within the country, but we're fighting a cultural war of values. And so the foreign enemies are basically paying domestic enemies to emphasize alien values to America. And that's why you're seeing so much conflict in the press. These are not American values.
Yes, exactly. So there's a lot going on. There's the Soros money and Iran going to really poison college campuses. But in Europe, I saw crowds that were just astonishing, protesting Israel, and they love to inflame people who don't have any understanding. As long as you can claim that one group is a victim, you're off and running. What do you think's going on? I kind of liken it back to the Arab Spring and this concerted effort to import as many Arab Muslims from hostile countries as possible into Europe.
Yes. It's all part of a strategy. All these bad things don't happen by coincidence. And so I try to connect the dots. So moving people into Europe, I call demographic warfare, feeding them baloney narratives, I call that cultural warfare. So it's all part of the multi-front war, which I call World War III.
Pretty scary stuff. I mean, in light of Donald Trump doing amazing things to make peace, not war, while the left has spent years inflaming people who claim to be pro-peace towards war, what are you seeing in the near future as far as these two positions converging on one another?
Well, again, it's all part of the multi-front war. It's part of World War III. And also, it's part of human nature. The question is, who's going to run a country? Is it we the people, in other words, a democracy, or is it they the elites, namely a dictatorship? Yeah. Right. And this battle, which I call World War III, is actually from biblical times. You could say it's World War I. It's just human nature. And so every generation has to fight its own battle, and this is the generation and generational battle of our time.
Yes, and I guess it goes without saying that nobody, Jewish or non-Jewish, is saying that Israel is faultless. It just isn't that black and white in the sense that there's a whole bunch of Jews that have been co-opted to be anti-Israel, so-called pro-Palestinian. But if you can't be against Hamas, a terrorist entity, and if you can't look at October 7th and recognize who's the bad guy in the Middle East and always was, then you're morally bankrupt. It doesn't matter what your religion is.
By the way, it's like watching a Star Wars movie, and you can't decide who's good or evil.
Yeah,
I mean, pretty sick situation.
It's a lot
right?
like that, and it's heartbreaking right. to see. And we've talked about this before, you and me, about Dennis Prager, who says that liberal Jews are practicing liberalism, not Judaism. They don't seem right. to have any concern. And here we got Donald Trump calling Chuck E. Schumer a Palestinian. And you know what? It's pretty doggone close, isn't it?
Yes, you're right. It's very sad. I mean, a six-year-old kid watching a movie can determine good versus evil. Why can't adults?
Yeah. Well, partly because they know on which side they're awkward, and there's something else motivating them. But I think... Ken, nothing has ever been more obvious. You know, we have taken the hidden and made it apparent to more people than ever before. Namely, and it is all connected, and you do connect the dots, that not only, this is a perfect example, among the many hoaxes that these same Israel haters did, was to say that Joe Biden was perfectly cognitively clear and the best he's ever been, and he's healthy, right? All of a sudden, people are writing books to jump the ship to tell us. Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. Sorry, I'll learn to talk. And many thanks to everybody who make the Alan Nathan Show and the Main Street Radio Network possible. We always get a little rushed at the end here. We thought we'd shift gears just a little and close the show today with an Army veteran who saw combat during Iraq. He's an executive in the aerospace and defense industry and a former senior Pentagon official specializing in national security policy, finance, and government relations. His latest award-winning book is titled Down River, Memoir of a Warrior Poet. And that is by way of introduction to Ryan McDermott. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Karen. Just want to make sure I have good reception here. It's been in and out. Oh, thank you for having me on your show, and good. I look forward to talking about this.
You sound okay, great. Good. And we're coming up on Memorial Day, in the first Memorial Day of Donald Trump's presidency, and your book fits right in with that. Tell us about Down River, Memoir of a Warrior Poet.
Well, there's a lot of, it starts like a lot of catharsis. The writing was a lot of catharsis, and not a lot of time to go into all the details of the book. It goes from high school through war and then Lehman Brothers. And then I decided to publish, like, put it into a publishable package to try to share a story of vulnerability to help connect others to the veteran experience, but also a broader American experience. I just mailed off a signed copy of to a Gold Star parent, and I wanted to get it to him before the holiday weekend, so fast delivery. Mr. Gary Patriquin, his son, Captain Travis Patriquin, was a hero who we lost in 2006, and he's a part of the story. I go into that detail in the book, but yeah, we're looking forward to the president's speech at West Point on Saturday. My son is graduating, and so we will be there.
Yes, so you are the warrior poet, correct?
I assume, yes. In this context,
just
yes.
Just want to be sure. Yes,
I think,
go ahead.
But also, I would argue my son is on the path, and any person who is, I kind of use the term broadly. It's a term used in sort of it has a historic meaning, but yes.
Excellent. Well, and you should. It's important. General David Petraeus writes of your book, "Few war memoirs achieve the level of literary depth and emotional resonance of Downriver." And you speak from a very special place. What do you think about the contrast, the unbelievable contrast of young men being and women being welcomed into the military, returning to military values, and people recruitment is through the roof as compared to, well, President Otto Penn?
Well, I think the story, you know, speaks to all Americans, and you know, part of the warrior journey, there is a spiritual element to service, I think, and there's a lot of elements, you know, on the surface, I think people can very easily overlook, okay, what it means to be a soldier. There's a whole family, there's a whole community behind every soldier, man and woman who serves, and it takes an incredible amount of emotional, spiritual support for soldiers to, you know, stay deployed to face those, to face all the dangers that are in harm, you know, when you're in harm's way. So it's a unique culture in America that is sort of the strength of America.
Yeah, and I'm looking here at your Amazon, your book on Amazon, Downriver, mm-hmm. Memoir of a Warrior Poet. And it looks pretty easy to get, and you can even get it on Kindle for like $7.99. It says that you had a war with yourself. I'm sorry, I apologize in advance for the short segments that we have. If what was some of the war with yourself?
Well, I think honestly, just to be, and this goes back to 2010. You know, there's a sort of it's about priorities. Coming out of, I would argue I lost myself in terms of focusing more on my career than my family and needing to put that back into perspective, putting family, you know, career supporting the family and sort of life. And I think that's what kind of, there's a little bit of that, but also, you know, PTSD, there's a lot of, you know, sort of different nightmares to talk about with the, and just the way, a feeling of isolation. Guilt. After I left the Army in 2006, and I learned, you know, 2008, I learned of the death of Travis Patriquin, and I felt enormous guilt, but also pride in his service, and a guilt that I had left the Army. And so, part of writing this book is sort of a coming full circle and completion to kind of make. I don't know if it's a sort of atonement for leaving, but I wanted to make sure I honored those who served multiple tours and the families who lost their loved ones.
Well, it sounds wonderful from a variety of perspectives. I just wonder, as you look back and you see this drastic change in America mm-hmm. from one president to another, and it's as if our military is on the most of the receiving end of either being supported, not being supported. And it's such a drastic change. I mean, how do you handle that? I know that's a soldier's job, but that's why people were leaving the military before. They didn't feel like the government had their back.
I think, you know, the military is being a parent of a newly commissioned officer. There's a, you know, sort of the personal aspects of views and everything, and I think it's a complicated question because I lose sight of it because I'm just caught up in the moment right now, looking ahead to, you know, Brandon graduating this weekend, and
well, congratulations. You know,
He's been on this journey along with all his classmates for the past 4 years. They committed, you know, and this comes after 20 years of, 20 yeah. plus years of like a war.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm glad we talked about your book. I'm sorry it was so short.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Honor the vets in your family. And we will watch that speech on Memorial Day coming up soon. Ryan McDermott, his book, Downriver, get it. Thank you for joining us.
Karen, thank you so much.
Our pleasure. That does it for the Ellen Nathan Show. Tune in every day for more on the Main Street Radio Network. Good day.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.